It's a recognition by the members of the church, the members of the body of Christ, that there is here an individual, a family, that is called by God, a man that is called to preach the Word of God, to shepherd the flock of God, and to lead in the church of Jesus Christ. Today we have the privilege of recognizing God's calling upon Luis Sanchez, not only to the pastoral ministry, but also as a missionary and a church planter. And for you, Luis and Clemera and your family, we trust that this is just one more confirmation of a very fruitful and meaningful ministry to the glory of God and to the building up of the kingdom of God here in this place and around the world. We believe God is doing a great thing. Missionaries, as you know, are often those who leave the comfort of their homes and their culture and their companionship of their friends and family, and they go to a place to preach the gospel and to those who might not otherwise hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And we often think of missionaries going from the United States to faraway countries. And it's different for us, isn't it, to have someone come from a faraway place to come to be a missionary here among us. And what a great privilege we have that is rare and is beautiful. And as we know that all Christians are called to fulfill the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, to go and make disciples of all the nations. But not every Christian is called to leave their own home and their familiar territory to go out as a missionary to another state or to a foreign country. And this evening, I want us to take a look at that very significant and very special calling that the Lord gives to those that He calls to that kind of ministry as a pastor and as a missionary. And so we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 13, if you have your Bibles tonight, Acts chapter 13. We will take a look at the importance of the calling of a missionary and the significance of both what God is doing and the significance to the church for this missionary ministry. So Acts chapter 13, you follow with me as I read verses 1 through 3. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your holy word. Please teach us tonight and challenge us that we would be the church and the people who are called to do Your work in Your way, according to Your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So a good question to start off with tonight is, what is the call of a missionary? From verses 1 and 2, we see that the call of a missionary, first of all, is God's call. It is God's call. The Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas to this work. It's the Holy Spirit's job to call qualified men and women to missionary service and to the ministry. It's not up for us to do the choosing as His church. It's the church's job to confirm and to affirm what God is doing, but it is God that does the calling. And so tonight, as we are ordaining Luis during this time, it's not the church making this decision. It's God who's already done it through His Holy Spirit, just as He did with Paul and Barnabas here. As they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, it was the Holy Spirit who said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul." And you notice that the Lord said, "Separate to me." It was not that these were just going out to serve some city or some country or some people. They weren't even just going out to serve the church. They were going out to serve the Lord. It is the Lord that we serve. Whether you serve as a missionary or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or the janitor at the church, or the one that does the ushering or cleans things or loves people, whatever you're doing in service to the Lord, it's to Him. It is the Lord Himself that we serve. And that is especially seen when we are calling those and recognizing the call of those who have been called to missionary service and as pastors. And so, first of all, the call was God's call. Secondly, the call was a particular call. It was not extended to every member of the church at Antioch. This was a thriving church. Many, many people had come to Jesus Christ, had been saved and baptized there at Antioch. Paul and Barnabas had spent a long time there teaching the people. This was a growing church. It was an exciting church. Things were going on there. They even had five men that were, it seems, leaders, teachers. It calls them prophets and teachers in the church, but only two were called to this missionary service. It was a particular call. Not everyone was called to this particular ministry that the Holy Spirit had chosen for Barnabas and Saul. And so they were the ones that were sent out. Thirdly, we see that the call was to the Lord's work. It was not only to the Lord, but it was to the Lord's work. Look at what he says. "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work," he says, "to which I have called them." We see that Paul and Barnabas were to be set apart, as the Holy Spirit says, for the work to which I have called them. They were to devote themselves to preaching the gospel in unevangelized Gentile areas, and it's a very similar thing to what God is doing in the life of Luis and his family. They were sent to a place where we are sure that there are unevangelized people. There are Hispanic people all over this valley and in this western slope of Colorado that are Spanish-speaking people that need the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them are nominal Catholic, or they're something less than that, hardly any religion at all. And they are far away from their countries, oftentimes coming here. They need Jesus. And it's the Lord's work that He's called them to here in the Grand Valley. And so the first question we ask, what is the call of the missionary? It was God's call. It was a particular call. And it was to the Lord's work. Next question we might ask tonight is this: what kind of people does God call? What kind of people does God call? Well, first, we see here that God calls those who are serving. God calls people who serve. Paul and Barnabas are identified here as prophets and teachers. Well, along with the others. But they were prophets and they were busy preaching and teaching and ministering in the church. They were doing the work already. And I have seen a servant's heart in Luis Sanchez and his family. And just as he and his family, you know, just since they've been here in New Covenant Baptist Church over the last few months, you know, I have seen that, you know, they have already been involved in the life of the church, in encouraging new believers, in teaching and praying and just serving God where they are. And someone has said, don't expect to be called to missionary service unless you can serve the Lord right where you are. Those who are called are those who are serving. You know, if you're expecting someday that God is going to give me this great call and I'm going to do these great things for God, don't wait. He's given you a call. And you need to be serving right where you are, because it's those who serve that God's going to call. He's not going to pick you up if you're just sporadic in your church attendance, if you're not serving in some place of ministry, if you're not leading your family to that, he's probably not going to call you. It's those who serve that are called to this kind of service. And Luis and his family, I think, fill that bill. Those who are serving. Secondly, we see that those who are called are those who are spiritual. Notice in verse 3 the reference to prayer and fasting. Thomas Chalmers, old Scottish preacher, said this: prayer does not enable us to do the greater work of God. It is the greater work of God. Prayer is the greater work. So what we see here in the church at Antioch were people involved in prayer. And they were dedicated to the Lord in praying for the church and praying for each other and maybe praying for missions and that more people throughout their city and throughout the surrounding areas and places way beyond would come to Jesus Christ. My guess is this: they were praying the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest field, just as Jesus taught. And as they prayed, God answered. And so those who were called were spiritual. It says in verse 3 also that they fasted. One preacher says, fasting gives an evidence of an atmosphere of urgent desire in the church. And so the church and all those that were there, they earnestly were desiring to see God at work in their midst. And God answered. And the reason why God can use missionaries and pastors as He does is because they have learned to seek Christ through prayer, through fasting, through the reading and studying of His Word and confessing of their emptiness and allowing Him to fill them so that they might be used. And so those who are called are spiritual, depending on the Spirit of God. And number 3, those who are called are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit said in verse 2. You know, the Lord spoke to the disciples through the Holy Spirit of God. We don't know how He did that. Maybe it was through a word that one of them spoke, or maybe they all just knew that God was speaking there and telling them all, and they were agreeing what God was saying here. But the Lord spoke to the disciples, and they were sensitive to hear the voice of God speaking into their lives and letting them know what His will for them was. God spoke to them because they wanted to know His will. They were ready for that. And George Peters writes, when the ear is closed, the mind preoccupied, and the will and purposes set, man is outside of hearing distance, and the call of God will never reach him. Many people never receive a call from the Lord, not because the Lord is not calling, but simply because they're not within hearing distance. How close are you to the Lord? How much of time have you spent in prayer, in seeking the Lord's will for your life and your ministry and what God is doing and what He's calling you to? He is calling. Are you listening? A missionary pastor, we said, is called by the Lord. But secondly, also, the next main point that we have is this. A missionary pastor is commissioned by the church. Verse 3. It says, "Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away." So we see in verse 3, what we see is the commissioning or the ordaining of a missionary. If the Holy Spirit is the one who calls, then why does the church have to formally set this person apart for missionary service or to service as a pastor in the church? If it's God that does all of that, shouldn't the call to missions for that person be individual and something that they know that God has called them to? Well, certainly it should be. But what's the point then of involving other Christians? Well, it's this. Number one, the church sets apart a missionary or a pastor to demonstrate that the church is God's principal sending agency. God works through His church. God does the calling, but He does it through His church. He always does. He works through the body of Christ to send people where He wants them to go and to call them to those ministries. And so God, the church is the instrument that God has chosen to accomplish His present work in this world. When the church ordains a man, it is the church also assumes its position under the authority of Jesus Christ as responsible for world missions. You see, when we send out a missionary, or we send out a pastor, when we send them out, it's a statement saying, this church is responsible for reaching people for Jesus Christ, both here and in other places. We are the sending agency of God. You know, it's not the North American Mission Board or the International Mission Board or some other mission agency that sends out missionaries. It's the church that does that. It's the church that recognizes those callings and commissions its people to go. And all missions starts local. And the church is the center of that. Secondly, it's important that we, as a church, commission this pastor, this missionary, because the church sets apart a missionary or a pastor to demonstrate the church's confidence in the call that God has given to that person. As we said, only the Holy Spirit can call a missionary or a pastor, but it's the responsibility of the church to confirm that call. If someone stands up and says, I've been called as a pastor, I've been called as a missionary, and the whole church, after seeing this and examining this, says, yeah, maybe we should wait on that. Chances are, that person needs to go back to God and examine their calling. Unless it's a very unbiblical church. And so it is the responsibility of the church to recognize and affirm those whom God calls. The same Spirit that calls people into ministry also works through the church to confirm that ministry. We saw that, you see that in Acts chapter 6, as deacons are called, those who were called to serve the tables. It says that the church chose them as they examined the Spirit-filled people. And, you know, it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, but it was the Holy Spirit that confirmed that, and the church confirmed that. They were chosen that way. And it's the same way when we choose. And when God calls, the church affirms what God is doing. And so by the laying on of hands, the church publicly authenticates the call of God by declaring that person as spiritually fit for the service to which God has called him. And thirdly, the church sets apart a missionary or a pastor to bind the church and the missionary in a bond of common purpose for God. The message the church received here from the Holy Spirit was to release Paul and Barnabas to the work to which he had called them. These were two of their best teachers, I'm sure, you know. Think about it. If God had just calls your best teachers and prophets and leaders in your church, it says, oh, besides, I want those two to leave and go somewhere else. And that's what God did in this church. And you know, actually, that's typical of churches that have a missionary vision. Churches whose main aim is more than survival and more than maintenance, but a church that is mission-minded, that has a heart of God for the nations, for people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. When a church is a missionary church, God will often take those who are their best and brightest and send them out. And the church gets excited about it. The church should also show its willingness to support the missionary, the pastor, both prayerfully and financially. You know, I want you to be praying. Continue praying for Luis and his family. Several things you can be praying for. The immediate need is we should hear this week from immigration whether his visa should be approved or not. The 5 months will be up. They're saying, telling us that we should hear. Pray that God would give a favorable answer to that, and that we would be able to move forward with his appointment as a North American missionary, mission board missionary. Pray for their finances. You know, God has been providing, and we are so thankful. You know, we can't thank God's church enough, and thank God for what He's done through His church. Both this church and other churches in our association have been giving, and their bills have been paid. Yeah, they've spent down their savings, you know, quite a ways to where there's not much, if anything, left there. But God has provided for this family. They, you know, you and others provided for them everything that they needed for their household, you know, with furniture and other things. And you know, it's amazing what God has done, and to see the church step up to that, and how God binds the church and the missionary together in this work. It's a partnership that we have in the gospel. Pray for their work. You know, the Lord has begun a work out in the Palisade area, as most of you know. And we have an opening there with the migrant workers and also with the growers out in the area of Palisade. God worked through some members of our church to begin that. Maybe that's just why God sent Luis to this little church. We don't know why. You know, it was on Brad's heart to ask us, and God put it on our heart to call him. But this might have been because we had Beverly, because we had Maxine and others that lived live out in Palisade that had these contacts with the growers out there, and through that we were able to begin a work with the migrant workers. Twice a week, Luis is going down to the migrant center and he's serving food to the migrant workers and talking to them about Jesus and getting to know them and the Lord is opening doors there. The Lord's opened a door through the First Baptist Church in Palisade. Not a Southern Baptist Church, but a sister church. They have a heart like ours, and they are excited about the work of what God is doing and calling this Hispanic pastor there to start a church. And so, God's at work, and I want you to continue to pray for the work. Pray for their family. Pray that the Lord would continue to bless them with children that love the Lord and that want to serve and want to give and these kids are teenagers. They're going to be adults soon, and you need to be praying that God would make clear to them His will, so that they could become adults who are serving God with their whole heart in His church. Maybe God's going to call them to be missionaries someplace, as you pray, God's going to be working. So pray for their kids, pray for their marriage, that God would keep them strong. Pray. Because as the missionaries go out, they go out knowing that there is opposition. You know, as soon as Paul and Barnabas went out and they started preaching, every place they went, there was opposition one after another. If it wasn't from the religious Jews, it was from the Gentile pagans. And they had Satan coming at them from every which direction, and missionaries do. And so it's so important that there's a sending church that says, these are our people. We're sending them out and we're praying for them and we are holding them up and God's going to do a work through them. God binds the church and the missionary pastor together, and that's what He's done here. We thank God for that. So continue to pray for them. And so tonight, as we close this message, we, as the body of Christ at New Covenant Baptist Church, recognize, Luis, that you have been active in ministry in our church, in the community, and in many churches before you came here, that you've been seeking the will of the Lord through prayer. We recognize that you have received a sovereign call from the Holy Spirit to serve as a missionary pastor and church planter. We rightly affirm God's call upon your life, and we lift you up in prayer, knowing that God has chosen you to be a part of His work of evangelizing the nations. And church, we come together tonight affirming these things and making a commitment ourselves to be a church that will support through our prayers, through our finances, through our encouragement, through our love, and to see and to rejoice in what God's doing. And so that's our challenge tonight through God's Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Word of God that you have shown us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this special time. Now, Lord, as we have this time of prayer, as we lay hands upon Luis and pray for him, may your Holy Spirit work through your church and through this missionary pastor. God, do your will here tonight, that we would rejoice in seeing your Spirit at work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luis, I'm going to have you come forward. All right. This is my brother. And, you know, I've gotten to know Louisa. We spent a lot of time together working on paperwork. And sitting in front of the computer and praying that God would answer. And he comes and shares with me all the time what God is doing. And we're very excited about what God is doing. And we are affirming the call of God on your life. You know, most of you know that Luis was ordained as an elder in the Christian Reformed Church, the church that they were at in California. Of course, in our Southern Baptist doctrine, we believe that the position of an elder and a pastor are equivalent positions. And so although he has had an ordination, we believed it was so important that we affirm as Southern Baptists, as New Covenant Baptist Church, as the Grand Valley Baptist Association, and those that are here, that he has been called as a missionary. And this is more than just an ordination. I think it's really a commissioning as well, to say that we are not only supporting you, but we believe God is sending you. Amen? All right. And so I'm going to have you. Are you able to kneel?
Yes, sir.
Let's do that. All right? All right. He's strong. All right. So I'm going to ask, you know, as we do this, that our pastors and deacons that are here that would feel the call of God to come and lay hands on Luis and pray that you come up at this time. And we'll do that one at a time, and then we'll all gather around as a church and pray together. And so let's do that at this time.